Alrighty, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Tonight, we got a nice bit of an expose going on because we're going to be covering a lot of ground here. I've been on an obsessive data harvesting, I don't want to say troll, but it has definitely been an excursion into the depths of nonprofits and a lot of 990 forms. And what we have going on is a lot of weird stuff happening in the world of nonprofits. We're going to cover a lot of the stuff going on with the government giving out grants to nonprofits that are working in Big Eva, or, you know, the ones that are kind of betraying our country by sponsoring an invasion at our southern border. We're going to cover both of those issues tonight. But I also want to just keep tabs on, this is spiritual warfare in many cases. We are dealing with organizations that are well-funded, and I want to provide a lot of information that will hopefully be useful, hopefully be very good for reference, because I got a lot of information, way more than I ever need for right now, because this is really going to be useful for just doing discernment in the future, just to know, hey, this ministry makes around this much money, has around this much money, and it can help you triage a threat. It can help you kind of understand what the market is for a certain type of false teaching, and all this will make more sense as we get in. But Anthony wrote the article on the Christianity Today scandal, so how about you kind of lead off with your thoughts on that while we get started?
Yeah, I mean, so it's kind of a nice picture, and a lot of with the Christianity Today thing, they filed their Form 90 back in November of last year, so it is more or less a recent filing that, you know, could have easily been overlooked as far as when it was submitted. But yeah, it kind of is revealed that they took about 1.8 million in federal grants. Now they're claiming that it's PPP that was forgiven, which, I mean, regardless, that is a cash infusion into their business operations, and so it is money that they obviously had that was forgiven or not forgiven, but I mean, at least that's what they claim it is, which, again, we don't have any way to verify just yet. But that's not even the worst of it. I mean, at the end of the day, Christianity Today is an entity that is relying more and more on grant money rather than necessarily service revenue or subscription revenue, meaning you subscribe to their service or product. So it's more dependent on these giant donors, and they increased their donations between 2022 and 2023 by about $4 million. That's up from $5 million to $9 million. And they make about $18 million in revenue. So a substantial growth for Christianity Today in that regards. And they're becoming more and more dependent on these large donors.
Yeah, and what's interesting to note, you didn't quite specify this in your tweet on this, but I will add, because a lot of people think, oh, they have subscription revenue, and yeah, they do have subscription revenue. I don't need to subscribe to it, and you don't need to subscribe to Christianity Today. Just clear the cache in your browser, or at least clear the website's cache, and you can just keep viewing or use the Internet Archive. You don't need to buy it. And here's the thing. They also take in a lot of paid sponsorship for articles. They do a lot of sponsored content on there. And my guess is it's because these organizations want prestige. One of the more famous instances of them doing this was the He Gets Us campaign did a paid sponsorship on Christianity Today, as I recall, a couple of years ago. So just kind of, so a lot of organizations will do a paid sponsorship just for the prestige of being published in Christianity Today, or Compromise Today, as we like to call it around here. But I don't, again, who is their audience? That is a question that a lot of people kind of wonder. And with all this funding, it's like their audience is a donor class that is not in the church at all. And that's kind of what you kind of talk about, was they are reliant on, you know, they get $1.8 million from the government and then millions from these organizations for grants. They are not beholden to a Christian audience.
Yeah, I mean,
whatsoever.
I mean, if they were just dependent on like their subscriber base, I mean, they would essentially collapse under their own weight, because their payroll is way too high, and then you have all their other expenses.
So let's dive into that. This is your article. You wrote it. So the man, this is a tiny image, but basically it shows that, yeah, 9.6 million in contributions, which does not account for revenue that they earned.
Yeah, it doesn't account for the subscription revenue
or the sales revenue from selling ads. So it doesn't account for that, but it, you know, 1.8 million of that is grants. And then they have 133 extra dollars in indirect monies, but it accounts for nearly 19% of their contributions came directly from the federal government. So that is a major issue. And then you have their salaries kind of listed here. What's his name? Timothy Darmimple. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Daryl Mimple. He makes like $233,000 plus. Actually, total is $277,000
in compensation.
Whew. Big time salary for a nonprofit. Then you got their chief creative officer, Eric Petrick, at $202,000. So he's above $200,000 in total compensation. Russell Moore at $190,000, which is where I thought he was. And then Nicole Martin at $181,000. So they are big time paying their staffers, and they got more staffers.
And keep in mind, there's another $5 million in payroll that's not included in like their officer class.
Like, this is an outlet that provides very cushy jobs for liberal activists.
Yeah, I mean,
who all donate to the Democrat Party. They don't donate to anyone else. And this was a pretty interesting detail that you pointed out, was this.
Yeah, no one else was talking about this. And again, on Form 990, they have to list this because it's a clear conflict of interest. So they are disclosing the conflict. And, you know, I'm not necessarily opposed to it on like a moral level, but at the same time, it does show you that they kind of have no problem doing like, you know, insider deals and giving their CEO a very favorable mortgage. Because again, the odds are they're not charging him 7% APR on a 30-year fix like the market rate is going for. They're definitely giving him a cushy mortgage loan. And yeah, it's $130,000, which probably
balance. Yeah. So he's paid off $20,000 of it
on a $150,000 principal. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, yeah, you know, that's a nice perk to have. That's extra compensation by the thousands if you're considering what the market charges on interest rates. So yeah, he could easily be making like $300,000 plus when you factor in the difference between the interest rate he'd be paying at market rates versus whatever he's paying back to the company.
Now, I guess the most surprising thing is it's only $150,000. Like, is there a regulation on how much you can loan yourself as a NGO head, as a 501c3, or because there's no way his house only costs that much. This is
my fixer.
That's cheaper in my house. And I didn't have, that's cheaper in my house when I bought it. And I didn't have any, $200,000 salary to fall back on. So, that part was pretty crazy. And this is your comparison of their numbers from year over year. And what shows is that in the prior year, yeah, they went up $4 million in contributions and grants, and they went down almost $1 million in program service revenue.
Yeah, 600 or 700K. But, and again, that means that their reader base is probably dwindling, but they're still getting more money from, let's be honest, whales and high rollers.
Because they're not an outlet. They're really just about prestige. This is about the prestige of the institution that they represent. It's not about actually reaching people. It's about their credentials.
Now, keep in mind, I begin the article by talking about all the regime-friendly narratives that Christianity Today has propagated. And, you know, one of them was, they wrote an article about PrEPFAR, which is the government AIDS program that's ran through USAID, which they interviewed like Debbie Birx, like that Debbie Birx. So it's just, and all to plead so that Congress would sustain the program, which, you know, isn't really necessary at all. And, you know, in the long term, it's probably actually harmful for African development, but that's a different conversation on the benefits of foreign aid. And so, obviously they did endorse gay marriage. They did, you know, so they also wrote a counter signaling piece against the Panamanian president, the current one. And then you have, yes. And then obviously their stance against public schooling or against homeschooling in favor of public schooling.
Yeah. They did write an article on, they also wrote an article on not to run for school board of education. So I was not able to give them enough flack for that at the time. But they did do that article.
So very regime friendly narratives, and particularly ones that deal with like foreign policy, which is very strange that a Christian outlet would be so concerned about AIDS in Africa, or, you know, who the president of Panama is, because it's not really germane to the American church.
That's Russell Moore's influence, because he wrote that Jesus had AIDS once. So I think that's Russell Moore's influence. But I will say, like much of the regime, they didn't cape up for Kamala Harris enough. They didn't stick their heads out enough for her. They basically helped Evangelicals for Harris get off the ground. And people like me and others, we buried them. They got just punched in the mouth and they did not recover. So you love to see that. And Christianity Today would eventually not come out in full swing and endorse Kamala Harris. Makes you wonder whether they were anticipating this. I don't think they were, because who among us was anticipating that Trump would shut down U.S. aid, or at least try to and get pretty far, because the money is currently in pause, which will do some amount of damage to these organizations if the money's on pause. And the workers are getting recalled and or fired. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And Christianity Today, they're just a little bit of it. So, a lot of winning going on right now. And a cool dude with the super chat saying, great channel. I'm relatively new to much of this stuff, so I've learned a lot about Big Eva and other related issues. We will win, Christ is King. And yes, we will. And this kind of is a nice transition to talk about a lot of the other data that I've collected. So a few things went viral immediately. One was the Christianity Today went viral probably early. World Relief, we kind of already knew about them, and we talked about them last week. In fact, there was also Revoice apparently got some money from the federal government. We'll talk about that in a minute. So I'm just kind of recap which organizations kind of got exposed early, and then Redeeming Babel might be one of the other ones. We'll talk more about that as well. I mean, we'll talk about everything and probably way more than you were prepared to talk about. So I don't know if you're ready for this, but let's go. So I'm gonna pull it up. This is a spreadsheet that I made of all this stuff going on in Big Evil World. Let me know you're able to see it.
Yep, it is up.
Okay. So I got it nice and categorized. So there's a lot going on here. I got it categorized by a lot of things. So a lot of different categories. Man,
if you are able to zoom in more, that would be nice.
It's throwing me off for a second. So we're going to go by category, but the top contribution amount is $1.9 billion, and the least of which we work with here is $188,000. Let me just reapply my filters for a second. Because I keep adding to this because I've been very obsessive with collecting all this information because I think it'll have a lot of use. So with that said, let's kind of go to the first category that I want to talk about. And I think it's going to be the traders. This has to do with the immigration issue. So these are the trader organizations that I sorted out, and they're sorted by contributions amount. So I'll zoom in more. So we got at the top is Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, which is a nice anagram. That is not an accidental anagram because it stands for liars. So Lutheran Immigration Service, Immigration and Refugee Services, they take in over $200 million from the government.
Yeah, and just for background purpose on this, it is a kind of like a joint operation, like a pan-Lutheran ministry that is probably more associated with the ELCA than it is the LCMS, but obviously there is coordination between both of those denominations.
And to clarify that point, the LCMS has, I believe they stopped working with them as an institution, but they still have several churches that continue to work with them.
Yeah, because they do like an RSO, like a registered service organization or something like that, or whatever the term they use is. So they're not listed as one officially, but obviously there are intermediaries. There are churches that will, you know, participate on the ground level. So it is more associated with the ELCA, the Liberal Lutherans.
Right. And this is an organization that pretty much only deals with one issue, and that's immigration and how many people can we flood into this country. And they get paid to do that. They literally profit from the border crisis. So that's pretty despicable. They would stand to lose everything if the border got shut down.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically wartime profiteering.
I know. So next we have on the list, and this whole list is about wartime profiteering in a way, except for maybe Lutheran World Relief, which I'm not entirely sure what the difference is, but I did collect them as well because they get, you know, $7 million from the government. That's no small deal. But before we get to them, World Relief, whom we talked about last night, $126 million from the government, which is 79% of them is subsidized. Lutheran, the liars are 97% subsidized. These are 79% subsidized as of 2022. So all of these are going to be 2023 unless I specify otherwise. There's a couple 2021s and some 2022s are in there as well. And Lutheran World Relief, $7 million from the government. And Arrive Ministries, which is another immigrant and refugee NGO, they also are 63% subsidized by the government to a tune of $2.2 million. And I'm doing a lot of rounding.
Do you know who they're associated with?
No. I crowdsourced organizations to look into. They were one of the organizations that one person requested I look into. I'm like, wow, they were onto something here. They knew about this organization and I didn't, but we're going to talk about a lot of organizations. So that is the traitors. I think the next category I want to talk about is the media. So let's talk about enemy media. So this is where Christianity Today would be. And as you can see, Christianity Today is the largest player in this field. And it's kind of surprising, actually. They are 19% subsidized by the federal government, and this is not including their program revenue. And then we got second place, so we did talk about them, is Sojourners. And they're not all subsidized by the government. I want to be clear that we're going to be covering a lot of organizations that are not subsidized. But it is something that we're going to talk about nonetheless, because it is very good to know how well-funded your enemies are. And Sojourners, I believe they're Soros-backed. I know I've, so that's kind of the case with, these guys, and they're hardcore open borders, Black Lives Matter type org, super liberal, and they don't really get support from the government. That if you see a low dollar amount on the, spreadsheet, it is indirect money. Pretty much 100% of the time, it's going to be indirect money.
Yeah, I mean, again, those contribution numbers, like with Christianity Today, are probably not inclusive of all their revenues, because that's just the stuff that they get from a donation standpoint, not what they sell to the public.
So then But nonetheless, they rake in $5.8 million in donations.
Yeah, donations. And
so that's a lot. This is a very well-funded organization for something that does not have that much of a reader base. They are not organic. And that's one of the points I want to drive home is they're not, a lot of these organizations are not organic. A Religion News Foundation is what runs Religion News Service. So you've maybe heard of RNS, super liberal outlet. They're not as well funded as I thought, but maybe they get more program revenue and stuff like that. But $850,000. So I was actually surprised that they were not raking in millions of dollars in contributions and grants, despite the fact that they are a liberal news outlet. So you got to subsidize them. Because liberals and media is how many of them have been failing. So then we got two Black Lives Matter type media companies, really. So we got Truth to Table, which is Lisa Harper and someone whose name I can't pronounce. They do a podcast. And then another podcast, which is Christina Edmondson's organization called, you know, The Witness. So we got Truth to Table, which I think has Truth's Table or something like that, or Table Talk or whatever. One of those woke podcasts is on Truth to Table, and it's got Lisa Harper in it. I wrote down her name. I didn't write down the other person, other co-host's name. And it's got a, and then The Witness. So they make $500 million in grants and contributions.
$500,000.
Okay, I said million. And that, or, and then the second one makes, The Witness makes $424,000 in contributions. Then we got Julie Royce. So this is pretty interesting because Julie Royce used to run her ministry, if you want to call it that, her ministry of Satan. She used to run that through a liberal college. So you could not donate to her directly. So got a question here. Which one is not organic, CT or Sojourners? Neither are organic. That's the thing. At least Christianity Today used to be organic, and they're kind of living off that dying corpse legacy. But Sojourners is not organic at all. So Julie Royce, I would actually say, is organic. She has a cult following, at least if my YouTube comment section is any indicator. And she used to not have her own 501c3. Now she does, which is a pretty interesting development. It occurred last year, and she raked in $319,000, which I thought was pretty interesting. I don't think she sells subscriptions or anything like that, or has a merch store that I know of. But if she did, it probably wouldn't make that much. And then we got National Religious Broadcasters. And I was kind of surprised that this was such a tiny organization in total contribution amounts.
So maybe they just receive it all through ads and or not. Yeah, ads or whatever.
I mean, maybe. $232,000. And again, I'm rounding down if I'm rounding for the most part. So that is our little tour through Christian media. And it's good to know, hey, by the way, Evangelical Dark Web, we do not have that kind of money. But we still get work done here. What do you think we should do next? We can do a quick tour down Christian Zionist media, which I just have the CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network, which $200 million in contributions here. I thought that was pretty insane. So televangelists, they make some money. Just a fact. Let's do enemy think tanks, because this is kind of an interesting category as well. There's some subjectivity to how I categorize this. And along with, you know, you might take issue with my friend-enemy distinction maybe at times. But we got the National Immigration Forum leading the way in contributions at $6.2 million, with $8,000 of that coming from the government. This is the Soros-backed. At one point in time, they were Soros-backed. This is where the evangelical immigration table comes from. So the Southern Baptist Convention is currently partnered with this organization, as well as Lifeway, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. They partner with this organization, so they come very well funded.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Then we got the Colson Center for Christian Worldview. They've, I guess, received some indirect money from the government, $4,000 or $4,000 to $5,000, and $5.2 million in contributions. Again, this is like your boomer con, conservative neocon think tank. And one of the reasons that I'm not a huge fan is they also he partners with one of the other organizations that we're going to go through, one of the more Zionistic ones that I thought was pretty interesting. I'm not a Chuck Colson fan in general. I'll just be real. Then we got the Institute on Religion and Democracy with Mark Tooley, who's also in bed with Chuck Colson as well. $100,000, $110,000 from the government on a $1.8 million total contribution. So this is, again, another think tank. These are all think tanks. I'm labeling them as such. So Trinity Forum is pretty interesting. Part of my exhaustive search for NGOs to look through came from reading, going through Shepherds for Sale, picking out organizations that were listed here, and just scouring the book for organizations and stuff like that. And Shepherds for Sale had the Trinity Forum, which had people like David French. They were kind of cultivating a lot of David French types. And they were kind of the people doing atheist dialogues and stuff like that. But having respect from the establishment, I guess.
So these were the guys combating new atheism, and but also at the same time being weak on every sort of cultural issue.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I'm not as familiar with the history, but Megan Basham does expose this organization hardcore in Shepherds for Sale. And they come really well-backed. And she talks more about how they got money from a lot of other organizations rather than the government itself. Then we have the Evangelical Environmental Network. This is also a Shepherds for Sale pool here. A lot of these think tanks are in general. So she has like an entire chapter on the...
This is the climate change propagators, yes, in the church.
Yes. These are the people that invented, you know, what would Jesus drive. They kind of started the whole loving your neighbor misuse. So
loving your neighbor means buying carbon credits from, you know, a guy that sells carbon credits.
I mean, the whole thing is a scam, but they were the organization that helped bankroll it. So I would imagine maybe at one point in time this was higher, but I kind of think that the Biden administration definitely amped up the, we're going to hand out grants to our friends. So I think this has not been going on as long, but I could be wrong about that. We'd have to do a deep historical dive on all these organizations, specifically these ones. We have the Clergy and Laity for United for Economic Justice. So this is an organization that received $490,000 from the government. And they only had $1.1 million in contributions. So this is 43% subsidized. And what did I write here? This is a progressive interfaith group that's addressed in Shepherds for Sale. That's kind of what their thing is. And then we have Redeeming Babel. This is the organization that had the aftermarket curriculum that was devised by Curtis Chang, David French, and Russell Moore. So $14,000 they received directly from the government. This was a grant. This was not indirect, even though it's a lower dollar amount. And kind of shows they're very regime friendly. And you get the sense that anti-Christian nationalism was an op. I get that sense. Look at all these organizations that were funded by the government to make very government friendly talking points. So I don't know if you had a comment on that story.
I mean, they probably didn't even need to be paid because they're all kind of shills in general, but
they want to be rewarded and told that they're good boys.
No, isn't the more controversial part with Redeeming Babel the NGOs they've received money from?
Yeah, I mean, that's a larger thing.
It's not even Uncle Sam's handout. It's actually, like, you know, the other NGOs that are handing them money. You know, I don't know if they were expressly with the Rockefellers, but I know Josh Dawes has. I think he did the breakdown on that, because if you look at their NGO charity graph, yeah, it's even worse than what the spreadsheet says.
Yeah, I mean, this spreadsheet is really about the government and their total number of contributions, which is a good way of knowing where these people stand. And Redeeming Babel is a lot bigger of an organization than you would think it is, because they have big time backing.
Yeah, a lot of these are not just like websites that exist
and glorified blogs.
Yeah, they're not websites or just logos on a thing. They actually have some financial paper backing them.
And what audience does Curtis Chang have? So then we got National Religious Partnership for the Environment, which is, I believe, another Shepherds for Sale poll. $30,000 from the government and almost $776,000 in total, 4% subsidized. And then we have Evangelicals for Democracy. This was an off year for the elections because it's still 2023. And this is an anti-Christian nationalist organization. They got $2 from the government indirect, and they're under $500,000 in contributions. So concludes our enemy think tank section. What do you think we should do next? You want to see Big Eva in general? This is a pretty broad paint that I use to say Big Eva, but we definitely got some interesting organizations here. That this is where we're going to get into. I'm not saying these are enemy organizations. Some of these are, but I am saying it's cool to know how much these organizations make. And if you want to steward your giving accordingly based on need, this is good information to have. So the top one by revenue by contributions is Museum of the Bible, which received $45 million in contributions. Not bad. I mean,
yeah, I mean, Museum of the Bible is a very high cost, like as far as like the financial needs go, they are very high cost as far as what they need, given that they're located in DC. So they're in that expensive DC real estate. They have a giant building that was like a former rail station. Pretty cool place. Obviously, they do have a lot of interesting characters that are behind it. But yeah, they actually do need a lot of like capital.
They actually need a lot of upkeep.
Yeah, they need a lot of capital to sustain their upkeep.
So, I don't have the Gospel Coalition in here. So, quick disclaimer, because I should have given this earlier. Southern Baptist entities don't have to report 990 forms. And most churches don't either. So, just to keep in mind, if something operates that much as a church, it will not be on here. So, yeah, Museum of the Bible, huge. And they're not government backed.
Yeah, I would have thought they might have been more.
Yeah.
Just as like a museum thing.
Yeah, they're not a perfect organization, but hopefully they can be a force for good. We got another one, and that is Truth for Life. This is Alistair Begg's organization, which makes an insane $23.4 million in contributions, and some of that came from the government, negligible amount came from the government. I believe that was all indirect. So it's insane. But what's even more insane is his salary. Like, Alistair Begg was paying himself over $300,000 in compensation for a ministry dedicated to expanding his reach. I mean, kind of makes sense.
That's his radio show, probably his books, speaking tours, all that stuff. Right.
He had one of the higher salaries that I encountered in this search. Just throwing that out there. It was really up there. People thought I was making fun of, I was deriding James White. I really wasn't. I'll get into that later. We'll get into the medieval section later. But no, Alistair Begg was he was milking it. But what else are you going to do with $23 million and your only mission is to operate a radio show radio, and your only mission is to advance Alistair Begg's brand, which does in part preach the gospel. So I'm not dissing that part, but what else are you going to do with that money? You just shovel it into a fire and power a ship? Like, what else are you going to do with that money?
So I'd be curious.
That is insane that they raised that much money.
All that stuff.
Running a YouTube channel or, you know, the modern or the older equivalents of radio and television stuff. It's just, I don't know. That part struck me as very insane, how much money they raise for how little operational expenses they would have. And then they pay themselves handsomely. So then we got Purpose-Driven Connection. This is Rick Warren's organization. Does he have a jet? Because that's funny. Yes, he should buy a new jet. I mean, he certainly has the money to have a plane.
I mean, $15 million a year. That's how he's done more work than the Apostle Paul.
And then Purpose-Driven Connection, $15.5 million. Rick Warren in the house. He also is in charge of a food bank, I saw. I'm like, who's putting this guy in charge of a food bank? He's going to eat all the food.
Hey, I think his ego is busted by being below Alistair Begg.
I mean, that's got to hurt Rick Warren's ego. But he might also have other things that make up for it. So then we got the Bible Project, which is a $14.6 million venture in just contributions, which how much, what else? I don't know if they sell things or not, but yeah, that's pretty high dollar. That's way more than you would think. When I first watched Bible Project videos, I would not have imagined that they were making that much money. This would have been like in 2019, early 2019. So very big nonprofit here. Desiring God, one of the largest online ministries in the United States. And they're bigger than the Gospel Coalition, by the way. $9.7 million in contributions. Zero of that came from the government directly or indirectly. John Piper is putting in the work. And we got World Evangelical Alliance. I'm not overly familiar with what this organization is. They seem like just a big EVA organization, but nonetheless, they're pretty liberal as it is. And $2.3 million is what they do. And then we got the IF Gathering. This is Jenny Allen. A lot of women in the church are familiar with Jenny Allen. I'm not a fan of Jenny Allen. And Jenny Allen is pretty woke, just saying, and she platforms a lot of woke pastors. So, if you're against egalitarianism, I'm not a fan of female pastors in general, even if she doesn't call herself that. But she almost makes $1 million, or she almost raised $1 million in 2022. So maybe she's there now. Living Proof Ministries. This is Beth Moore's ministry. And total contributions is $412,000. I believe she makes more on the other stuff because she has sales and stuff and book stuff. So she makes more money. Cool Dude says, I watched the Bible Project videos. The guy does have a very high voice. A lot of people have asked me to research whether Tim Mackey is a false teacher or not. So he's one of the next possibilities that I'll do.
I mean, he does have a lot of questionable stuff. Obviously, yeah, the high voice is very...
I don't think that's the questionable part, but...
I can see, that probably has some people's gaydar going off.
So that concludes our Big Eva section. And there's some things that I didn't put in Big Eva. So we're going to do the next section, which is like it. And it is legacy conservative groups. So this is a pretty interesting section. We got Samaritan's Purse to kick it off. I mean, yeah, they're kind of Big Eva, but they're also legacy. So $1.14 billion in contributions, making them one of the largest organizations on the entire list, probably second place, I think. We'll talk about why they're in second place, but as far as an individual organization goes, they are number one on this list. They are the largest organization on this list. So, and $53 million came from the government, which only amounted to 5%. So if they stopped receiving government money because of USAID, they would still survive.
And most of that money is being spent in Africa. It's not necessarily being spent in America.
I think they do the shoeboxes.
I think Congo is the number one recipient or number one area where the like nation code where the money is being spent.
And Congo's about to go to war with Rwanda. You're right. So there's your African news update because we do care and we're well informed around here. So Alliance Defending Freedom, huge organization, $94 million raised in contributions. And this is 2022.
And that makes more sense when you factor in, they are doing actual legal cases, not just advocacy and raising.
These are big groups.
They are lawyers. So they charge like lawyers.
These legacy organizations are not just jabronis that just came out of nowhere and started a 501c3. These are very big organizations that we're discussing here in this section. So Alliance Defending Freedom, they did get 19,000 in direct contributions from the government. Most of that was direct. Then we got Mercury One. So this is Glenn Beck. And David Barton is, I believe, the president of this organization. So I put this on here because this is very influential in conservative media. $34 million in contributions. I'm very surprised that Glenn Beck is pulling this off.
And this is what, radio or media?
It's not that. I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, this is his.
This is his organization, though.
I'm not sure if it's his real estate thing or not, but Glenn Beck does use, his Blaze Media to, I guess, have a lot of like his friendly aligned businesses.
Yeah. So he has a huge organization. They got some direct money from the government. The next one's pretty interesting. Answers in Genesis. Like they are a powerhouse and I actually do love to see that. $23 million in contributions, 23.8. Don't believe this counts the theme park that they have.
Oh, that does not count the Ark?
Why would it? Because those would be service revenues or program revenues.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I don't think it does. Yeah. So they are huge. They are a powerhouse. They get a negligible $469 from indirect government monies. Amounting to 0% of their budget, rounding down. And then we got Awana. So a lot of churches do Awana.
You forgot Tebow.
Oh, sorry. Let's do Tim Tebow. The Tim Tebow Foundation, $18.8 million affair with $17,000 plus in direct government contributions.
I'll be honest and say I think that does seem very high given, Tebow's like sports earnings were not necessarily like,
Oh, Tim Tebow's making way more in his post-NFL career.
Yeah.
It's not even close. And I'm not talking about because of this foundation. Like, he's on ESPN, guys. I'm just saying. And he gets paid handsomely to speak, and he kind of sounds like a prosperity gospel preacher. So, with that said, and then we got Awana. So, Awana, a lot of churches do Awana on Wednesdays and stuff like that. It's almost like a scout program, but indoors. So $15.9 million in total contributions with $1.7 million coming from the government. So they actually get a lot of money from the government. Amounts to 11% of their contributions are subsidized by the taxpayers. And yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of it, because they're an international organization, that's why.
Or maybe they're dealing with poor and inner city, so they're getting something on that end. But there's like a program they're doing, but.
So, okay, Veritas said that Mercury One helped get stranded Americans out of Afghanistan, and they were on the ground during Helene in Western North Carolina for this disaster. So, okay, so they do a lot of disaster relief. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew they weren't the real estate, because I know he has another company called Mercury.
Yes, sorry.
He's very obsessed with the term Mercury, and I don't know why, and I kind of don't want to know either. Like, I have too much curiosity that I'm exploring to go down another rabbit trail. And then I wanted to point out Got Questions Ministries, one of the largest online ministries. And maybe they should have been in the Big Eva section, but nevertheless... But they don't have any Big Eva personalities. $1.5 million in total contributions to run a mostly good website.
I mean, you would, and again, I would think they would have been higher, just given that they have a lot of SEO dominance.
Oh, they crush it online. But yeah. Yeah. So that concludes our tour of the things. Let's talk about the gay Christianity. So this one's pretty interesting. So largest, and these organizations are actually considerably smaller than you would think. Like, they are actually out kicking their influence in terms of the size of the revenue of their organizations. It's actually shocking how the Reformation Project, which is Matthew Vines' organization. Matthew Vines is also talked about in Shepherds for Sale, but he's been a big deal for at least a decade. He's been very open about trying to get the church to affirm homosexuality. He gets in a total of over $500,000 in contributions. And you would have thought it'd be more, but the up-and-comers are going to overtake him. So, and this is the first up-and-comer we're going to talk about, is the Center for Faith, Sexuality, and Gender. And this is Preston Sprinkle's organization. Preston Sprinkle is the leader of the Side B theology movement right now. It is no longer Revoice. It is him.
He is the face. I mean, obviously, he's also somewhat of a rising star.
And it really shouldn't be the case. It's insane that he's getting this, but how's he supported? A lot of big grants go to this organization. Not much from the government, though, but big donors want a gay church. And that is how we're going to get a gay church, is by people throwing money at the causes like this. So this is actually something to be wary of, that Preston Sprinkle is getting a lot done with very little dollars thrown at him. That's actually pretty dangerous. And we need to be warned about this. That's why we need to fight Side B theology, because it inevitably leads to Matthew Vines. Because the Bible, Christianity, has always taught that sinful desires are themselves sin. It is a sin to be homosexually attracted. Homosexual attractions are sinful. They're not natural. Therefore, they're not from God. They're not natural affections. These are sinful affections, and we should not have them. And also, sinful identity. We can't identify as gay Christians. That's an anathema. That's an oxymoron. We shouldn't be doing that. But that is what Side B theology teaches. It teaches that homosexual identity and desires are not sinful. And that is just one pathway to teaching that it's okay to be gay. So they're getting a lot done with very little money thrown at them, which is very concerning, because obviously they could just wake up, and by they, I mean like Satan, they could just wake up and say, let's get this guy some cash. and see how much of an impact he really can have.
And keep in mind the way we as a culture was able to push back on the gay stuff was through harsher rhetoric. And these people would actually have you be soft pedaling it by downplaying the severity of it. You know, God isn't, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin. It's like, no, the sinner is the sin. And, you know, the harsh rhetoric of, yeah, we're not going to respect your pronouns, respect your identity, or even just respect your dignity. You know, Michael Knowles with the eradicate transgenderism line. And again, that was how we pushed back the issue in the public, is through irreverence to the very thing that we're fighting against.
So a lot of side B is also a circular economy, like the same people going to all these same conferences and stuff like that. So the next one we're going to talk about is Posture Shift. This is a gay affirming ministry, and it's founded by Bill Henson, I believe, is Posture Shift. I did not write down the name, but pretty, they make $285,000 in contributions here. So it's enough for one person to operate, which I believe is their capacity. And then we got Revoice, which is 14% government subsidized. That's insane how nearly $40,000 went to Revoice to help make the church gay. That's what went on there. So this was 2022. They didn't have a conference in 2023, I think, and they had one in 2024, but it's insane. So this was one of the ones that went viral, and
Revoice is probably losing steam.
Yeah, so I would agree with that. So again, they're losing steam to Preston Sprinkles, who has overtaken them. Years ago, it was Preston Sprinkle doing pre-conference events at Revoice. Preston Sprinkle was using Revoice to amplify his image. Now, you got Revoice speakers speaking at Preston Sprinkle's conference because he's the marquee event for Side B Theology now. He has overtaken Revoice, and that's a great point. And then the last one we have is Embracing the Journey. This is the one that hosted the gay affirming conference at Andy Stanley's church. So that is what they are. They're not government subsidized at all. They made over $250,000 as well in contributions. So that concludes our gay church section. I don't know if you had any final thoughts on that.
Yeah, not as much money as you would think in the big gay, but at the same time, there's a lot of cultural hegemony outside of this. Like outside of the church, that's obviously just seeping its way in.
Yeah, it's just insane. They are getting so much done off of, in some ways, because they don't have an audience. Like Posture Shift. What's the other one? There's Posture Shift and Embracing the Journey. They don't have organic audiences.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind the whole Side B thing is just a halfway house. That's unsustainable. And at the end of the day, you know, most people that go down like the gay sin are just going to reject God as a whole, because at the end of the day, they're going to make a moral indictment against God, whether it's God for making them gay or making them that way, or God for condemning them in his word. But they're not, but even like the Reddit tier atheist doesn't even argue, well, God, the Bible doesn't condemn homosexuality like these guys would argue.
Yeah, they would just say that the Bible's not authoritative. We got an academic institution. I could have included a lot of colleges and seminaries and stuff like that, but that wasn't really necessary. That I didn't think that would be a good idea. It would kind of gum up the works of what we're really trying to expose.
Yeah, do we really need to know that Baylor receives money from the government? Probably.
Yeah, stuff like that. This is the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities at $1.4 million. None of that really is from the government. So they're a very woke and liberal organization. They're kind of also pro-abortion, as I recall. So that is them. Pretty well-funded, if you ask me. So what's next? We want to go liberal missions or woke organizations. They're very interchangeable, but I did separate the two.
We'll do liberal missions.
Okay, so here's liberal missions. So these are some missional organizations that are liberal. Radical, that is $500,000 or $5.75 million in total revenue. That number's a little different because they're not on the site. It would be Radical Inc. They're not on the Data Republican site, which is where a lot of this came from, which pulls from ProPublica, which is a place where you can read 990 forms for nonprofits. So, and that's based on a 2021 990 that Radical filed. So they're pretty big. Then we got the Lausanne Committee for World Evangelism. So that's the Lausanne movement.
Now this would be associated with Ed Stetzer. Ed Stetzer, for those that aren't aware.
He's not on the organization that I know of, but yes. Like, he has a relatively clean fingerprints on a lot of these NGOs. $3 million organization. Pretty concerning, considering that Lausanne is a pretty bad movement in general. It's basically ESG in the church before ESG was a thing. Touching Lives. This one's pretty interesting because it's James Merritt, former Southern Baptist president, liberal, gay-affirming as well because his son is gay-affirming. And he affirms his son, who's gay. $2 million organization.
So that's just what? This is just his ministry, his brand?
Yeah, it's his ministry.
Okay, so it's...
Yeah, these are woke organization or liberal, just garden variety liberal. They're not like specific categories of liberal. Then we got Renewal Ministries, which is Ray Ortland's ministry, almost at $2 million in contributions. Again, none of these organizations are government subsidized. And then Acts 29, which used to be not bad, and now it's woke, and all the good pastors are leaving Acts 29, under $400,000 in contributions in 2023.
Seems like a drastic, like, downgrade for Acts 29. Because I would have thought they're larger on contributions and grants and all of that.
Yeah, they're not that large.
Yeah, I would have thought, okay, they're, because I would have thought they were actually like in the business of church planning. So that seems very small.
Well, that's an interesting perspective. Yellow Moss says Reboys lost steam because Tim Keller died. I think they lost steam a little bit before that. They didn't have a 2023 conference lined up and stuff like that. So I think they lost steam a little ahead of that. And I think Preston Sprinkle also overshadowed them. There's not a huge audience for Reboys.
They're also Presbyterian, which or limited like PCA. So it's not like they were a part of like the ECC or some like more woke denomination or even just non-denominational like Andy Stanley.
So, okay. Next one I want to do is going to be just liberal organizations. These are theologically liberal organizations. I got a couple of them to expose here. We got the BioLogos Foundation. So this is Francis Collins. This is his organization, $2.1 million. None of it comes from the government except for $6 in indirect contributions. So this is a very well-funded machine. It, you know, and their whole goal was to advance theistic evolution and also get people to get jabbed. That is what they do. Next, we have the Christians for Biblical Equality. This is a feminist organization, $1.1 million. And this organization is dedicated to advocating for female pastors or something like that. It's pretty gay. As the name would suggest, with biblical equality, it's talking about between men and women and stuff like that in the church and in pastors and stuff like that. So, and then we got Red Letter Christian, which, again, you would think would be a bigger organization. Maybe they've fallen off. One of their leaders died, right?
Yeah, not too familiar, but obviously Red Letter Christian, they're the people, only the words in red ink actually matter. And
they're the only inspired words.
I mean, I assume that that brand is dying in general because there's not really anything that holds together. Obviously, you see their arguments all the time with, like, quite frankly, stupid people that would just be like, well, Jesus didn't speak to this issue. So therefore, you know, that means it's not biblical. And
Who do you think spoke Leviticus to Moses?
Yeah, I mean.
Anyway, just over $250,000 in 2022. So this organization, I think, is no longer on the up and up. I think they're on the down and down. And that concludes just your theological liberal organizations. They exist to advance theological liberalism. Let's do the woke. Woke organizations. And this is a lot of government funding here. So we got the Institute of Church Administration and Management. So this is a woke black church organization, 76% government subsidized, receiving over $7 million in government contributions out of $9.2 million. So there you have it. This one, I think, was exposed by Woke Preacher Clips.
Woke Preacher Clips did a lot of
come from him.
Yeah, he did a lot of the work, and obviously, you know, there is a lot of DEI interest in sponsoring black churches, black church initiatives.
We got some Asians represented here too, though. Just saying. At the end, we got Proverbs 31 Ministry. This is Derwin Gray, and what's the other one? Liza Terkers. I don't know how to pronounce her name. I've never heard it pronounced. But she was also a part of the, I believe it was the table talk thing. She was a part of that one.
So, I'm assuming she's not a Proverbs 31 woman.
I would not call her one. No. Never mind. I was going to tell you a story about what I said to my wife this morning, but... It was related to Proverbs, but not Proverbs 31. Anyway, Partnership of African American Churches, 97% government subsidized. So $4 million out of $4.1 million. This is a organization that would not exist without the federal government. And it exists, I think, in West Virginia. Which I'm sure there's so many black churches in West Virginia. So I don't know if you want to touch that one.
No. I mean, I'm just thinking, wow, they're making all that paper. You know, they was Kangs with the 7 million.
Another government subsidized organization comes in with Charlie Dates. He has the organization Together Chicago. I think he's like the vice chair of that. 73% government subsidized, $1.5 million in government contributions off of $2.1 million total contributions. So that's Charlie Dates. I think they do stuff with housing or something. There's a lot of organizations like this. TD Jakes started in West Virginia. People forget that. Randy Moss is also from West Virginia. By the way, so, you know, there are black people in West Virginia. I guess we got to remember that. Be the Bridge. They apparently had a lot of curriculum in the church. People were pointing this one out on social media. I honestly, there's so much wokeness in this world that I forgot about Be the Bridge. I know I've heard of them. I know I've heard of Latasha Morris. She was definitely on my radar as a woke pastor or whatever, woke preacher clips, stuff like that. I believe she was also involved with Evangelicals for Harris, and she has the organization Be the Bridge, which is 21% government subsidized in 2023, $165,000 from the government out of $786,000 total. Insane that this curriculum was basically bankrolled by the government. Now, 21%, they would still exist without the government, but the government is making it very easy for things like this to exist.
I wonder how much of it is simply like, oh, it's a black-owned business, so it gets special handouts.
There is some of that in the federal government. For instance, the SBA has a special category for black business owners that white people cannot access. So that does exist in the federal government. I don't know how much about USAID or whatever all these other nonprofit grant giving has to do with it. But anyway, Moving on, the next one is the Creek Collective, which the Bidiania Wile is involved with. They are under $400,000, but they don't seem like a nefarious organization. Like, they actually do seem legitimate, but I just like to collect data. And last but least, Raymond Chang's Asian American Christian Collaborative, which got a negligible $70 in indirect contributions from the government, but they are at a $250,000 or $225,000. Not quite a quarter million in contributions in 2023. So he is very upset right now. Raymond Chang is. So now, that
what he lacks in money, he can just hire like H-1Bs. And
yeah, I think he was big on that, wasn't he? So where do we want to go next? That kind of goes through a lot of the woke stuff and the liberals organizations. Let's do Christian Zionism. This is a little bit liberal if you think about it. So we got One for Israel. This organization rakes in $37 million. And it's not from the government.
Is there any face behind it?
That's a good question. I don't know. A lot of organizations you might be thinking of, Christians United for Israel, which is also known as KUFI, which is John Hagee's organization. They were not on this database, so I have no idea how much money they get. But these are very well-funded organizations. And it's kind of scary at the end of the day. Like, we are up against a huge behemoth in fighting Christian Zionism. We are up against a huge behemoth. One for Israel might not even be the largest one, but $37 million in contributions.
Yeah, I mean, insane. That's a, and again, if you think about just the millions on this list, I mean, it's easily eclipsing 50 million if you add them all up. And
yeah, add them all up and we're approaching 60 million.
60 million. So yeah, I mean, that's a lot of church projects that could be funded with this money. That's, you know, a lot of missions work domestically that could be done instead. It's just, you know, propaganda.
Yeah. And this just shows that there's so much money in the kingdom being misused and wasted. We got the Fellows Project, which is the most government funded. It's 7% government subsidized. It is a Zionist organization with Mark Tooley is a part of it. And Richard Land is on it. So Richard Land, hardcore liberal. He's an amnesty advocate and Ukraine simp. He is one of the mucky mucks over at Christian Post. He used to run the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission before Russell Moore did. So he was Russell Moore's predecessor, and the apple did not fall far from the tree. He is part of the Fellows Project, which dedicated a lot of money to Israel. So that's maybe why they got almost $500,000 from the government. Then we got the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem, not a government funded organization, but $5 million nonetheless. We got Hayavel Inc. I've never heard of this organization, but it's pretty evil in my opinion. Like, we're convincing Americans to go over to Israel to become sharecroppers for Israeli farms. Like, how much do you have to hate your country to do that?
They can't just hire Palestinians.
Yeah. We have to volunteer.
We have to be there over
and pick crops for Israeli farmers. Like,
we have to be there, Mexicans.
How absolutely cucked do you have to be to do that?
No, it's what? Do you do it on Saturday or something? Because
they can't do it on Shabbat. Yeah. Is that what goes on over there? I don't know, but $4 million this organization has in contributions, and it's all about helping sharecropping in Israel. It's like,
you can't notice when they spit on you because you can't discern it between sweat and spit.
Oh, man. Just how much do you hate yourself to have to do that? Yeah, again, Palestinians exist.
I mean, that's like
I'm sure they need jobs.
That's actually how they envisioned the Messiah coming, is that, you know, all the Gentiles would basically be their slave, pay them tribute and all of that.
I mean, you're probably paying to sharecrop someone else's field. How ridiculous is that?
I mean, that's literally what they envisioned like the Messiah, like how the Jews envisioned the Messiah.
So, and then last but least, we have Christians for Israel. C4I is also what it's called. $3.4 million organization. So again, the grand total on this was $57 million. And it's not really from the government at all. They got $500,000 from the government, rounding up. You know, Christian Zionism is the call is coming from inside the house and maybe overseas, if we want to be blunt about it. But yeah, let's do a quick trip down miscellaneous, see what else we could have talked about. I only have two here. Louis Palau situation. He's just someone I've kind of had my eye on for research purposes for like over a year.
Yeah, I'm big.
I didn't realize he was making that much money.
I mean, he's big in like the evangelical conference circuit.
Yeah, he's associated with Ed Stetzer, so not a fan. I just didn't know how to categorize him, but yeah, nearly $15 million in 2023. And then we had the FDM Foundation, which faith-driven movement, I believe is what FDM stands for. So they got faith-driven investor and faith-driven entrepreneur.
Yes,
they have a conference going on right now with David Platt speaking at it, which is just insane.
So Marcus Pittman, who does lore, he did a thread on this one. And one thing I pointed out is you actually kind of left out the biggest part is like, you know, this is a Tim Kellerite influence project right here. And I think Andy Couch is the other name that's like a big influence on this. But yeah, if you go on their website, it's Tim Keller. That's one of the influences of this organization.
I guess that New York City Wall Street mentality, I guess he was able to penetrate. But I'm just going to say, like, inviting David Platt to a faith-driven investor conference is kind of like inviting Derek Chauvin to a Black Lives Matter rally. Like, I mean, you should be so off-put by David Platt's presence as a high-rolling individual.
No,
like,
I should be
so off-putting.
Now, I imagine this institution is like the, you know, a bunch of Christians in the banking industry get together and fellowship and like networking and all that. So I imagine there is some decent intentions behind it, but obviously, you know, it's very Kellerite.
Yeah. I mean, it could be based, but it chooses not to. What do we got left? Let's talk about Fund of Funds. So this is a concept that I don't know if they're actually called Fund of Funds, but I know in investment circles and venture capital, they have these things called Fund of Funds, which is where you fund a venture capitalist firm that just funds other venture capitalist firms. You know, it's called a Fund of Funds. It gives the initial investor a distance between what their money and what they're invested in. So there's no blowback. So if you're like a government firm, you donate to a Fund of Funds. So when that Fund of Funds donates to something else, the government firm has no, they don't have the liability of funding certain businesses that may be PR disasters. Does that make sense? Similarly, these are fund to fund charity organizations. And the largest one is the National Christian Charitable Foundation. So people give money through this organization, and it goes to a lot of organizations. So many of the organizations that we're talking about today got grants and contributions from National Christian Charitable
Foundation. Yeah, I mean this is what's called like donor active funds or something like that, DAFs. So, I mean, yeah, if you have a lot of money, you invest, what you do is, and rather than start your own foundation, you basically just open up a brokerage account with one of these foundations. Then you basically put money in there. It's invested into the market as long as it's not being distributed. And then basically you're able to distribute your appreciated capital as a tax deductible donation to various charities as you see fit.
So this is a $1.9 billion organization. I think it's the largest total on this list. But because it's a fund of funds, it's not the largest organization actually doing the work on this list either. So Then we got next one is the Servant Foundation. And let's talk about that and Signatory at the same time. These are the organizations that helped funded the He Gets Us campaign.
Yeah, so Dave Green is, you know, the Green family is
the Signatory, I think, right?
Yes. I think I feel like they're the same because they went by two different names.
So, yeah. So one of them is nearly $800 million, and the other one is $133 million, and they help bankroll the He Gets Us campaign, especially Signatory. So, not a lot of good things coming out of there. I mean, some good things do, but at the end of the day,
I mean, they're funding everyone, but obviously, like, the He Gets Us campaign is the biggest.
Yeah,
they're. Yeah, you know, that's kind of what they're most known for backing. Because everyone's in there. Even ADF, Museum of the Bible, I think might have been in there. But yeah, everyone's getting something from them because of various donors. But
so obviously, I included the New Horizons Foundation Incorporated, which did get $22,900 from the government in direct grants. Out of a total contribution of $46 million. The reason why I want to highlight them is Mere Orthodoxy. This is a liberal Christian outlet in Christian media. So the New Foundations is included here because their parent company, the parent company of Mere Orthodoxy, is a fund of funds. But Mere Orthodoxy, I would count them as enemy media. But their actual 501c3 is a fund of funds. So that's that. And then we got the Christian Community Development Association. It's just kind of a woke organization associated with Evangelicals for Harris, makes $1.2 million. I didn't really know where to categorize this exactly. So it got put in fund of funds. Maybe it should have gone to liberal missions or woke organizations. You got any questions or comments before we move on to the next section, which I think will be fun.
Yeah, let's go. Let's get to the fun.
Mid-Eva. You guys ready to talk about Mid-Eva? Let's talk about Mid-Eva. So, now that I've just explained the concept of fund of funds, the top thing on this list is David Bonson's organization. He's the treasurer of it. It's called the Foundation for Christian Stewardship Corp. And they do business as NCF California.
And what did they do?
This is a fund of fund.
This?
It's a Mid-Eva fund of fund.
Oh, okay.
And this organization kind of drives me nuts because they gave nearly a third of the money they kept for executive salaries. They were paying themselves a lot of money to manage a total of $3 million.
Yeah, I mean, it's
$3 million. You need to have full-time jobs to manage $3 million donating it to various charities. That's insane. It's not, if it was one person, fine, but it was like five employees or maybe four employees that were making like six-figure salaries to manage $3 million. That makes no sense to me. This organization seems like a sham. But it's David Bonson's organization. And he's going to be speaking at ReformCon in April. Then we get Alpha and Omega Ministries with James White and Rich Pierce. And they rake in $536,000 in 2023. Wow, James White makes $150,000 or something like that. And I said, that's a nice salary, though. And people thought I was like angry at that. Here's the thing. I'm just making comments. I said that was a nice salary. It's a nice salary. I'm not actually making any comments on whether he's being overpaid or underpaid. Some people are like, oh, he's getting underpaid. I'm like, well, I wouldn't say that. If you're making money speaking into a microphone, I'm going to be very slow to say that you're underpaid. But Rich Pierce, I will say, is overpaid.
I mean, it's a $500,000 organization, which I'm actually kind of shocked it gets that much, but
yeah, a little bit, especially since he takes pride in not monetizing things like YouTube or stuff like that. But I thought that was funny. I was just saying things that are true. He's not funded by the feds and he has a nice salary. He makes more than I thought he would make. He's not the most egregious offender on here. I think that was Alistair Begg was the most egregious offender on here. Justin Peters is next. He does not pay himself a lot from this ministry, from what I saw. It's a smaller ministry, apparently, at just over $400,000. It's kind of interesting to know how much money these organizations reel in. I wanted to collect data, and now I know. Like, we know how big certain organizations are compared to others. So this is very valuable information moving forward, especially as Woke Wars 2 continues. So again, Alpha and Omega Ministries is looking pretty good, actually.
And, you know, Justin Peters does a lot in that anti-charismatic apologetics. So,
yeah, he's kind of obsessed with that.
That's his niche and carve out.
Yeah. I won't devote my life to that, but to each his own. G3. So G3 does not make a whole lot of money in contributions. They do have a large operating revenues and expenses because they throw conferences. So all the conference sales that they do is not included in this. They make like millions of dollars in conferences and they spend millions of dollars. I think they actually lost money in 2023, according to the 990.
Yeah, I mean, conferences aren't necessarily as profitable as people might make them out to be, especially if they're not, like, you know, if they're actually, like, friendly, cost-friendly, or they appear cost-friendly. Like, I mean, Joel Webbin's probably not making bank on defeating Trash World. And I would say the same about ReformCon. They're not making bank and just ripping off their audiences.
Speakers are.
Yeah, they might be charging some exorbitant speaker fees, which is why those conferences might not be as profitable.
Not cheap to have Vody Bachum.
Yeah. I mean,
none of them are, by the way. I'm just throwing that name out there because I know he's expensive.
I mean, I do think, obviously, when you're talking about like the Blaze type conferences where, you know, it seems like they have a company that does it. Yeah, they're probably, you know, someone's getting paid for that conference.
Yeah. I don't begrudge Ali Stuckey or Jason Whitlock for having expensive conferences. They're not
Yeah, they're not the host. They're just the name on the label. Yeah, it's the same conference structure. So yeah, whoever's doing that, that's one.
They're doing it for all the Blaze.
That's one organization.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's obviously Griff conferences out there, but a lot of conferences, especially on like our side, are not Griff conferences.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against conferences. I don't go to a whole lot. I will be at the Right Response conference, but we'll talk about that later. Because we're gonna showcase our allies at the end, and I try to be broad with the term ally. I don't. So G3 Ministries, not as big as an organization unless they're doing conferences. Then they can be kind of big. An organization, they aren't. It's not like they're crushing it in terms of donations.
Which also probably shows it might be almost a side project for a lot of their personnel, which is
would
be a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, they're pastors at churches, so they're probably getting paid to do that, and G3 is just on top of that. So then we got the Center for Cultural Leadership. This is Andrew Sandlin's organization. He's going to be speaking at ReformCon. He makes like $87,000 in compensation from this organization, and it makes just over $200,000 in contributions. So some of these medieval figures are not big deals, in my opinion. We can kind of surpass them relatively easily. Andrew Sandlin is someone that can get surpassed easily. A lot of the people in the audience are like, who is that? And I'll just say exactly, but he's one of the people that is a toady to the people that were attacking Joel Webbin. So he's part of Joe Boot's camp, I think. And then last but not least this time, because I don't hate Kosti Hinn at all. I just kind of throw him in the Medieva category because I'm not sure whether he's
He's obviously
like
not
a
big
bro yet. With us or not. I don't know if he's like really on our side, or on our side. I mean,
at 200,000, you can't really call him Big Eva.
Oh, he's certainly not Big Eva. And I put him in Mid Eva category as opposed to the Allied category because I'm just not sure where he stands on some of these issues. I don't pay attention to him enough. And that's so him being in Mid Eva is not meant to be a disrespect. But for the gospel ministries at $199,000, so just under $200,000, none of it's from the government. Again, the Foundation for Christian Stewardship, which is David Bonson's fund of funds, attempted fund of funds, but it's really enriching some people at the top. They're the ones making, getting government contributions. And then let's talk about allies, and that'll kind of wrap us up. Because I don't think we have anything else that I missed. So let's talk about our allies. I'm being very broad with alliances here. So I'm going to include Mark Driscoll because he's going after Christianity Today. He's going after a lot of the Spirit of the Age stuff. I don't think he's perfect. I know he's like pro-Israel and stuff like that. But in terms of fighting woke Eva, promoting Christian nationalism, he's actually on our side, which is kind of insane. It has come to this. The Mark Driscoll comeback is real.
So that's really before the comeback as far as 2021 goes.
Yeah, this is 2021 numbers.
Which would also mean it could be prior to that for what years of operation. But
yeah, so $1.5 million. So he's apparently a big deal still. Or he was then. I'd say he's one of the most viral pastors now. And again, way better. This is a lot better than the viral pastors that want to be viral. So, okay, I'm fine with his house increasing. I just am. Equipping the Persecuted. This is Jed Saul's organization to help Nigerian Christians. You would think that an organization that actually does aid to Africa would get government grants, but they do not. Maybe Jed Saul needs to get on that, or it's too late now, but maybe he should have gotten on that. But they make over $1 million. And it's a very good organization. Hopefully, I can do some sort of partnership with them in the future. I'd totally be open to that. Jed Saul is on our side. He did the Enemies Within the Church documentary, which I recommend. So, $1 million organization. Founders Ministry. Again, trying to be broad here. Just under $1 million in contributions. This does not include sales, and they have merchandise and stuff like that.
Their conferences, so, and
they actually make a lot of money. I'm actually pretty shocked by how much they're doing, by how much money they have in a war chest. I kind of, unless they're just doing things like church planting with that, maybe they are, I don't know. But if they're not like a church planting organization, oh, they're also founding a seminary, so they are doing,
yes, I saw that. So,
and Vodi Bakum is going to be a part of that seminary. That's the latest update on Vodi Bakum.
And that's in Florida for those.
Yes. So, okay. I was going to say, okay, if they're getting this much money, I'd like them to have more of an impact, but it looks like they're working on that. So the more that you talk it out, the more that it does appear that they're working on it. American Reformer, we got a scandal here. They have received $6 in indirect government contributions. Absolute scandal. Out of $517,000 that they've raised from grants and organizations, and some of those fund of funds did give to them as well. American Reform is very interesting because they have figured out how to get, they don't have the boomer whales, but they got a lot of the younger whales. They've kind of figured out how to get the young whales to donate to them. So they're doing something right. They can't crack the boomers, from what I understand, but they can get
the leading Christian nationalism publication.
Yeah, official, no, magazine.
Oh, magazine, sorry.
Yeah. I want the news outlet. We can be the official Christian nationalist news outlet. They can be the magazine. And I'm fine with that because, you know, we're news, they're long think pieces, and that's good. There's a room for both in the Christian nationalist tent. Let's make that happen. And then last but not least, Right Response Ministries in 2023, up puny $188,000. They're the smallest on this entire list that I've compiled. They are the smallest. There's no way they're that small in 2024, but in 2023, they were the smallest. And this is Joel Weapons Ministries. They have the upcoming Right Response Conference, and it'll be a fun time. I'll be there.
Yeah, again, he's not going to make a killing on his conference, given his ministry size.
That was that he's had a mediocre rise since 2023.
Yes. Or at least, I mean, 2024 was very good for Joel Weapon.
So a lot of things are moving and shaking, but I think he has a Right Response Ministries has the capability of overtaking G3 if they have not already. American Reformer can overtake some of these medieval organizations as well, and even some of the smaller on Big Eva side. Like, there is potential here to build a broader movement. Evangelical Dark Web's not on here because we're not a 501c3. Truth Script's not on here, and maybe it's because they don't have
too recent
or too small.
Yeah, but
I'm not sure. I mean, I did look, I tried, but they might be too small. I don't know. So there's a lot going on. There's institutions being built, and I hope this gave a lot of perspective as to where we're at in the fight. And we got to watch out. If Satan wants to throw money at the gay Christian movement, they could have a huge damage in their outsized influence, because look what Christianity Today is able to do with no core audience, but they're able to use just their platform of Satan to really bring down evangelicals.
Yeah, I mean, just as a liberal outlet. And again, they're very grant-funded. They're not donor-backed. And, you know, looking at these ministries, yes, a lot of them kind of were nothing. American Reformer and Right Response were literally nothing. Just a couple years ago.
All of these ministries except Founders, I would say, are punching above their weight class. And I wanted to look for more allies. Like, I didn't want to like source what I was doing, but it's like, okay, who are some good guys that we can kind of give a shout out? I was trying to come up with everything. Again, I'm not huge on researching charities and stuff like that. I'm not huge on that, but I did go down this rabbit hole. And we got a lot of data that's going to be very useful in spiritual warfare.
Yeah, I mean, one of the good things about Trump winning is that it's formative years for us to build institutions and for our people to build. Because again, we spent a lot of years not doing anything. And, you know, part of this is, you know, not to blame the boomers, but, you know, that is one of their faults as a generation, is that they weren't. That they're not necessarily known for the institutions being built, or their life's time has seen the institutions falling apart
or be managed.
Yes.
So these
are the years to be building. It's not just, you know, sit back, let the Trump administration do all the work. No, we have work to do on the ground too. Let them do their work over there in Washington. And, you know, it's time for our people to dig deep as well.
Yeah. And I posted something like, yeah, one of the things that I want to do is like, I want to be someone who can be, I don't want to say a sugar daddy because, you know, that has like a connotation to it, but a patron in the sense, most people might not understand the whole Roman patronage system where, you know, you would have a series of patrons that lead up to a larger thing. So think of it like the mafia, except not institutionally corrupt, but the mafia is a perversion or aberration of the Roman patron system. So think of it like that. I want to be able to help people. You know, I pay writers. That's what I'm doing right now. And I want to and the good thing about running an LLC is I can pretty much give to a lot of organizations and write it off as a deduction. You know, so I could be, sugar daddy. Like, that's one of my goals. I don't plan to get rich off of Evangelical Dark Web at all, but I do plan to use it as a vehicle to boost others It's kind of the plan from that. I do plan on becoming rich, just not through evangelical dark web. It's just not, I don't foresee that at all. But anyway, that's all I got to say on that. Personal update aside, as far as like leaving and starting a business goes, so far things are going well on that. So, except the money hasn't come in yet, but otherwise, yes, things are going very well on that.
Yeah, I mean,
you ever have to talk to a bank about increasing your limits on mobile deposits?
No, but I know that they have limits.
Yeah, I had to do that. I mean, I'm writing a check to myself because, you know, things that I need to do.
No, I know. The one time I had to do, I'm just like, ah, crap, let me just wire transfer and pay the fee. But
I didn't want to pay the fee to wire money to my own account. So I'm like, let me take several days to mobile deposit, go through the process of increasing my limit to just mobile deposit a single check and then see what happens, which will hopefully that works. So anyway, I know a lot about the SBA because I am working with the SBA here. So that's all. Let's do a last round for questions and then get off. So last call for questions. I'll just say, if you like Evangelical Dark Web, do also subscribe to the channel, to the podcast, if you are new. Evangelical Dark Web, Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. We also have a book, Winning Not Winsome, 10 Commandments of Spiritual Warfare. This is all linked in the description below. The patron-like system gives you access to bonus content, bonus articles. I want to get back into writing more bonus articles. I've kind of stopped because I have yet to figure out the newsletter is not curating them anymore. It was, but then it just stopped. I don't know how RSS code just decided to bypass or pass over. I didn't know how that would turn out, that the paywall would be like lamb's blood so that the RSS feed would pass over the paywall articles and not include them in the newsletter. Just suddenly stopped happening. So, all right, we got questions.
I'm looking through the chat, but
okay, a deferred question in the chat and otherwise. All right, I'm ready to call it a night. Because I've done a lot of talking tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we got plenty of articles in the queue. I mean, there's the fun thing about this week is it's been a very busy and news gathering week. But I mean, also, I mean, personally, I've a couple like articles on major NGOs coming out in the queue. So we're doing updates on various NGOs.
Okay.
So that's
good to hear. I mean,
we have in the works.
I don't know how many articles I could write based on what the data from here. Like, it's a very good sense of, hey, there's so much data here, and data is like a huge thing these days. People data mine and stuff like that, even though it's more data than they can deal with. But this, at least, this gives us a lot of information on the ground in spiritual warfare. So, okay, we got some questions. Thoughts on the Ogden Bros?
Yes, generally favorable. Generally endorsement.
Yeah, I mean, I like their social media content. Does Soros send money to ?
I'm assuming that's just
National Immigration Forum, yeah, and Sojourners. I think there are two Soros-backed organizations that we discussed tonight. And okay, I think that's all we got for tonight. Good questions. Stay based, Crisis King, and we will catch you on the next one.